Well, this is Dave. Welcome, everybody. I'm really excited about our beginning.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Good morning.
I know there are a number of you on the call.
Hi, Dave.
Welcome. I would like to spend just a brief time at the beginning with introductions, and then talk a little bit about what we're going to do today and subsequently. So first of all, I'm really, really excited about our group. We have some absolutely outstanding professionals who I think will each be a contribution to each other and to our collective wisdom. I'm really excited about the group and the people who are here, and I just can't wait to see what we do. I've sent you a number of emails, and I hope you haven't gotten felt too inundated. A couple of things I want to go over with you, and I mentioned in one of the emails that this will be a democracy. This will be a democracy unless you decide to boot me out. So otherwise, we'll decide things together. I'm not planning to record this. Confidentiality could be preserved because only you would have the number, but I'm not planning to record it because I think it's really a live kind of in vivo experience unless I hear some other ideas or wishes, and I'm interested in your thoughts on that. The other thing, so there are two things I'd like to just discuss briefly. One is I would prefer for the things that, or let me just keep it open. There are a couple of ways that we could communicate between times because there may be things, resources, papers, other things that you want to communicate. There may be a time you want to follow up with somebody who's been on the hot seat, something you think of later or didn't have a chance to do an input. So we can do that by just sending a reply all to the emails and sending it directly, or I can create a Facebook page that's confidential just for this group. Now, I slightly prefer the direct response because you don't have to go to Facebook. Let me ask for a mute because there's some paper shuffling, and be really aware of managing any kind of background noise. Be sure if you don't have a headset that you come back, or even if you do, you come back off mute when you're ready to talk. So if we can all just manage the background noise, because you probably don't hear it. So any thoughts or wishes about either the recording or a Facebook versus just replying to the emails and sending it directly to our emails?
Hi, Dave. Good
morning,
Sharon. I'll start. I'm of mixed mind. I don't generally use Facebook because I'm addicted to it, so I avoid it.
Okay.
But on the other hand, as a business person, I need to use Facebook, and I need to force myself to learn how to use it appropriately. And so this could be a way to do that. So I'll just leave those two points out there.
Okay. One of the things, as you think about Facebook, that I found and that I get consistent recommendations is to have a separate page for personal as for professional, and to have two pages. If you want to have a personal, keep that personal, not a business page. And if you're interested, I guess you're aware of this, but if you're interested, I can send you the links and give you a sample of like one that's personal and one that's professional, but keep those separate and develop a personal one for your business. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now, there was another comment at the same time.
Good morning. This is Debbie. I apologize for my rough voice. Debbie Moore.
You're coming in loud and clear from the west, from the upper west coast, so go ahead, please.
Yes, I haven't had my coffee yet, so.
Okay. Yeah, it's a little earlier for you guys out there.
It is. But regarding the test of my fever that I alluded to in the bio, anything that helps me with reminders is really good. So I love recordings for that reason, because quite often what I will miss the first time, by listening to it again, I catch more information. It gives me further food for thought. Mm-hmm. Also, regarding the Facebook page, for me, that's something that would really work.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any other votes that you want to log in for?
Dave, this is Lisa. Are you talking about an open Facebook page or a Facebook group?
No, a closed Facebook group that only our group would have access to, only consideration.
It's nice with that, because it gives us a forum even to exchange pictures and other literature. Sometimes with email, attachments can be a real nudge. But I would actually like both options, just to be greedy.
Okay. Yeah, because sometimes, you're right, the attachments and some of the things that I'll send to you will be attachments that I don't want to figure out how to do on Facebook, and I'm not sure I can. So, okay, all right, we'll do that.
Because Facebook doesn't accept PDFs sometimes. It's asked for JPEGs, and not everybody has software to translate. So it can be a nudge. But they both offer two different things that might collectively be really great.
Okay. Anybody want to log in on recording or not? Any other yeses for recording? Any no's for recording? Any considerations of things that you'd like us to think about?
Hi, Dave. I'm Deb.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
I would vote for the recordings and also the Facebook.
Okay.
I agree. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Give me 1 second to get us going with recording, then we'll do it right
now. Regarding the Facebook group, this is Debbie again. You can, when you make a private Facebook group, you can upload documents to that group.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
I am getting the notation that I had to indicate a recording from the beginning rather than right now. So if
do you want us to call back in?
No, let me call back in, and I'll do the recording, and it'll take just a moment. Thanks.
Thank you.
It's lovely to be in this group with all of you. I'm glad you're here. I like your bios.
Same here.
Same here.
Bunch of powerhouses, I think.
Well, I like how different we all are.
This is Sharon. I haven't seen your bios yet. I literally just joined this morning, so I am
scrambling
to get my bio together and, you know, all the prep work. I'm literally sitting at the computer trying to sort all of this out now. So I apologize for being late, but I am so excited to be part of the group.
Okay, we are now officially being recorded, so your first democratic action is
to all right, yay.
Don't let it go to your heads now. I'll get the Facebook set up
That's great.
By the beginning of next week. Let's do any other sort of housekeeping or framework things. I want to explain a little bit more about the hot seat and begin as soon as we can. But any other questions or things from any of the documents and the material that I sent to you?
No, just excited reading all of it. This is Patricia here in the West Coast.
Okay, super.
So I'm just really excited. I probably didn't even need my coffee this morning.
Okay, all right.
I'm like, oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I also wanted to, those of you who want to do a mastermind group, you will see how exciting and how vividly creative it can be, and I wanted to include probably more than you need with all the documents and the stuff and the everything that I might otherwise talk about. I wanted you to have all of that in case you have any inclination to plagiarize. No, so you'll have a model to use, and you're free
Never.
To use any of that in your groups. So any of that will be helpful to you. I sort of did an overkill there, but I wanted you to have everything so that you can always parse it down if you want for what you do, but you've got that. One other thing I want to think about with you before we do the introductions. You notice I left two of the content expert contributors open. I'd like you as a group to consider what you'd like to do. If you have someone you'd like to have present to us, or if there's somebody you'd like or some area you'd like me to scout out. And also, I put my ego in a blind trust, theoretically at least. So if either of the times that I'm the scheduled contributor, if you'd like to replace either of those times with an outside expert, I'm totally open to it. And stay, you know, cast a broad net here. Think in the broadest way that you can. My experience is that no one has ever declined. I haven't asked Tony Robbins yet, but no one has ever declined. Not one person who I have invited declined. Now, in the past, for example, I've invited authors like Dan Pink, who has bestsellers on Mind and Drive, and Chip and Dan Heath, bestsellers Made to Stick and Switch. Switch is a really good book for coaches, to participate in the New Life Story Quarterly Mentor Group, to provide input for the New Life Story coaches about what they would suggest would be applicable from their work and research, and they were eager to do it. So think about any area that I didn't cover in the content experts that you might like to either suggest an area or that you would like any particular person, and I'll go about seeing if it's possible or if you have somebody to offer. So let me know and just think about it, and otherwise we'll make it up and let it evolve as it goes along. I'd like you to each do just a brief overview introduction of yourself, a sentence maybe about your coaching practice, and then just a succinct sentence or two about what you'd most like to get out of our work together in a mastermind group. Yana, would you begin? I'll call on you in the order I have, if you don't mind. Yana?
Of course. Hi, everybody. This is Yana. My full name is Yana Filakova. I'm originally from Czech Republic. Now I live in D.C. for the past 9 years. And I recently graduated from CTA, and I started my coaching business called You Successful You, which is based in Washington, D.C. I work mainly with clients in transition, and I'm actually looking for tapping into coaching children, which I need to come up with basically the age structure, which I can start coaching. I would love to devote it for little children, but I'm not sure if it's possible. We talked about it with Dave. And the goals for this group, I would love to create a great group, you know, where we can support each other, brainstorm, also share the news about coaching field, and I'd love to get more information about the coaching children field. And that I already follow up with you, David. So that's me, and thank you for being here.
Now, Yana, I'm going to nudge you a little bit because you're very modest. This is something that I think you're particularly savvy about, have experience in doing, and will be able to contribute. You've had a very viable, successful, socially prominent business in D.C. Tell us a little bit about that, because it got you to the inaugural ball a few weeks ago. So tell us about that business.
Well, yeah, I used to be producing events, and I still do it. I'm part of this group of women, and we do once a month events for charities. And I basically know a lot of D.C. people and, you know, government, lawyers, whatever, everybody. D.C. is a very interesting city. You really have to understand the structure. It's all about power, but, you know, once you understand the people and what they need, it's kind of easy to, you know, understand them. Like, what are we doing coaching? We just have to understand the clients, where they want to go. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting to, you know, be in D.C. and grow in what I grew. But I was literally tired of that event field, you know, doing that and doing this. So that's why I decided to just be, you know, full-time coach. But I must agree on one thing. There are always people pulling me back to the event field. You know, they want me to participate on things, and they want me to go as a guest, and they want me to, you know, produce events. So it's very interesting that it's always pulling me back. But I really would love to more, like, go 100% for the coaching. Yeah, but that's been interesting.
Okay, well, thank you. I think it's terrific that you're tired of rubbing elbows with celebrities and pals.
Exactly.
And decided to hang out with us. I think it's really exemplary.
Dave, exactly. I'm so tired of it because I know how it works. And it's like, you know what? I don't want to devote my life to children because they're so beautiful and innocent. And that's what I want to do, like make them feel, you know, healthy. Like, basically, the program I want to share with all of you. So the program which I'm starting to work on, it's called Healthy Mind and Body for Life. And I want to devote it as a nonprofit to children and I really teach children, you know, how to sustain and how to achieve healthy mind and body. And, you know, especially in this time, like there's so much aggressiveness, the TV, the media, everything is targeting the children to be competitive and the competitive, you know, feeling of the children brings the aggressiveness. So I really feel like we need to...
Let me interrupt you, Yana, to say that sounds like it might be a hot seat topic that people can give you feedback.
Oh, okay.
Brainstorm with
okay.
you.
Okay. Sounds
that
good,
way
we can
constrict this just to the introduction. So thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's a crazy of more to come. Now, each of
Perfect.
You, I'm going to be... I want you... My hope is that you will take my interventions not in any critical or pejorative way, but I will be pretty strict with times when we have a hot seat time and we decide it'll either be 15 or 20 minutes depending on the context. I will shore up that and nudge you and I'll urge you, as always, to be clear, brief, and simple. So that's a great reminder. Patricia, would you do a brief introduction?
And as you just called on me, at the top of my page I'm writing, clear, brief, and simple. Okay, we'll see how that goes. Hi, everyone. I'm Patricia. I'm in Santa Barbara, California. And I would like to say that I did not read all of your bios yet, although I've skimmed through them, so I'm very excited to be here. As if you did read my bio, you probably saw that I am an entrepreneur at heart, and I really, sometimes I have trouble when someone says, what do you do? It's like, what month is this of the year? Because I'm involved in a lot of different projects that come to me, and sometimes I say yes too often. So one of the things I would like to do is to hone in on my work and just sort of see, probably focus, because I just, like I said, I'm an entrepreneur at heart, so I just somehow, a lot of energy comes to me, and I get involved in a lot of different projects. So, let's see. So from the group, that's what I want, is to try to help me focus in on my skill sets and create a package going from there. My coaching practice usually is in project by project. Like if you notice, I worked with a program called Women Moving Breast Cancer. So for a couple of years, I was involved in that. Enlightened Environments evolved as people hired me to do different projects and consulting. I'm involved in flipping houses right now, and I have a major organization that's asked me to be on the board. So I need to focus and really hone in and recognize that I'm really have come into my power at this stage of my life. And so what do I want to do when I grow up? So hopefully listening and learning from all of you how you've honed in and created a path will help me get there. Anything else, Dave, with having covered everything?
That's terrific. Thank you. And also to all of you, keep in mind, if you have an area of expertise that you'd like to share with the group, let's look at it and consider it, run it by me, and then we'll run it by the group. If there's something that you would like to focus on or have me focus on for a brief training, and I'm talking about your training for 10 or 15 minutes, mine for 10 or 15 minutes, we can decide to do that. If there's something we want to do as a sidebar and to have a training for that from any one of you, we can certainly do that. And if you have something to offer, let's talk briefly about that and see. And we already have another, it sounds like a hot seat topic from Patricia. So, Lisa.
Hi, everybody. I'm here.
Hi.
I'm right in central New Jersey, just outside of the Princeton area. And I have about 20 years of experience as a designer. I had one job in the employ of somebody else for about 6 months out of college before I realized I make a very bad employee. And I went out on my own, and I never looked back. And even early on, I worked with, in marketing and design, heavy hitters like Sony and Philips Lighting and the Muppets, who surprisingly were probably it was one of the most horrible business experiences I've ever had, and I'll share that story maybe another time up the road. But I had a lot of experience early on, kept on that path, then decided to get married, had kids, and back in 2006, a very surprise and devastating divorce came up, and it shook everything up. So I turned to coaching to try and make something good come from that whole situation. And it turned out to be fantastic. I'm still running around like a lunatic at hockey games and my children's musical events because my ex-husband's very absent. But I work from home. I always have. And the coaching piece has evolved from my history in design and marketing, where I've applied my skills toward working on brand building for people like us who tend to be our brand. We're at the center of it all. I find that every class I've been on for personal development or for professional development, I end up teaching a lot about this part of the world. There's a lot of marketing noise out there, and it's very difficult to hear which one's correct or ideal or best. You can read any book about it, but there's nothing that replaces clarity from somebody who's done it for a long time and who doesn't mind communicating it well and really likes it. So I've been doing that, and it wasn't until the New Life Story opportunity came up. It was a very impromptu decision to take the class, and I loved it because it's all about perception and change, and the neuroscience piece just gives me goosebumps. So I'm very excited about Roger Dooley being one of our presenters coming up. I'm right now in the peak of transition, I'd say, not relinquishing my old stuff and the old skills. It's all very applicable, but I'm looking to push much further ahead. I'm very appreciative to be among some people who are bigger thinkers than my suburban hockey mom circles.
And Lisa is also modest. She is one of the preeminent people in the country for visual branding, and she is our expert on November the 1st. Lisa, just can you share just within a minute or so your hockey coaching success?
Oh, yeah. My son's hockey team was losing miserably and really bad by like 10-1 and repeatedly. So I pulled the coach aside and asked him if I could have 10 minutes in the locker room before each game that was left in the season. He said, you know, at least you could have 2 days. So I went in. I've told Dave before my only request was that the boys all had their pants on because they're all 17-year-old young men. So I would go in before each game and address some issue of performance that I extracted some of it from the New Life Story coaching program. And the kids won every game, or won a tie every game for the rest of the season. And it was great because they'd say, where's Coach Yokes? They were calling me Coach Yokes, which is a nickname for my son. I asked my son if I could do it first just to make sure he wasn't embarrassed, but I assured him, I'm also a black belt, a second-degree black belt in taekwondo, and I assured him as soon as I told the boys I was a black belt in taekwondo, they would sit down and listen. That's exactly what they did. But they ended up going to the championships as a result of the end of their season finishing up, and the boys were very gracious. They attributed much of that to the 15 minutes spent in the locker room with them before the games.
That's such a great story. I have a feeling it has way more to do with being a black belt than New Life Story coaching. So congratulations. That's a real interesting success story. Thank you.
Sure.
Ginger.
Yes, hi. I've had myself on mute. I had to wake up so that I can talk to you guys.
So thank you, everybody, for sharing. I'm so engrossed by everybody else's stories because I've been surrounding myself with the same people for so often here. One of my goals for the group is to get some new perspective and surround myself with some professionals that are in the same field so that I can really, you know, find out where I've slipped. So I wanted to say to Patricia, I also have trouble with the what do you do question because I'm all over the place and I haven't put everything into a coherent system yet. And I'm always doing something different. My business is called Holistic Dynamic. So I sort of cursed myself with an ever-changing landscape, which is, I mean, I enjoy it, but I don't know about the people that I interact with. Anyway, I also, one of my other issues with what do I do is as I'm hesitating to put myself out there, because I started coaching in 2008 with CTA, and after that took some of the New Life Story training and have just really enjoyed that. But what I've ended up doing is developing a local holistic wellness and personal development studio. And I lost my practice in the process. I haven't been coaching. I've barely been working. I've mostly just been managing the studio, doing administrative tasks. And I realized recently that I'm sort of hiding behind the studio. I'm pushing the other practitioners forward so that they can, you know, be successful in their practice and bring in customers and teach classes and do everything that they want to do. And, you know, I'm just sort of fading into the background, and I'm starting to realize that that's not really what I want to do. The other thing that's going on in my life is that I've been rebuilding as a result of food allergies. I started a new, very, very basic food diet, which is allowing me both, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, to sort of rebuild everything brick by brick. And everything is up in the air. You can probably tell my thinking is scattered.
So mostly what you would like to get out of our collaboration together in the group is what?
I need to recreate myself.
I told you, I'm not going to be hesitant to jump in because I know you guys understand and will forgive me already, okay?
Yeah, I need to recreate myself and my practice before I have to quit everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
got it.
It's pretty deep.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's a nice synopsis. We have two Deborahs. Debbie Morley. Are you okay with Debbie and Deborah Dietrich with Deb? So
that's
Debbie.
Fine.
Okay. All right. Great. Debbie.
Well, good morning. I'm so happy when I read all of your bios. Dave, you've done an absolutely wonderful job, I think, of putting together a really balanced group. I'm fascinated that we're all female.
I know. I had to work to be the only token male, but
bravo to you that you can hold that space, Dave.
I'll bear up somehow. So go ahead, Dave.
Well, it's nice to me because you'll probably be more friendly to the idea of my business, which my original business is SheMakesTheRules.com. It wasn't intended to be a business, but my passion to get the message out to other women that we do not have to be, you know, what society always tells us we have to be. We can embrace our own strengths.
See, I didn't know another guy that could stand up to you, so that's really wonderful.
My sweetheart does a pretty good job. But anyway, I had 106.7 fever, and I allude to it not for sympathy, but because it changed my life. It cooked my brain, and I lost my ability to be an accountant, which is where all my training and, you know, work experience for the most part had been in. But what happened as a balance was that my people skills really expanded, and I've always been able to have an ability to connect with others. And so without knowing it, I was already coaching the people on my website, and I started getting training. I'm a CTA certified coach. I've gone through Dave's new money story as well, plus many other workshops, et cetera. My business is Queen Bees Coaching. My website is not up yet. My SheMakesTheRules.com is in the process of being rebuilt. I've invested over $30,000 in it. I've even sold my beloved Acura to pay for that, so I'm really on the fence financially. And I found that with my brain problem, I'm really bad at organizational and actually getting things done. I get stuck in a perfectionist loop and lack of focus. So my hope for this group is simply not only to learn from you, you know, new ideas and whatnot, but also how to be a business owner and how to be successful, and for the support in that journey, as well as the, okay, this is what happens too with the brain. I lost the word, the accountability. So that's it.
Okay, thank you very much. I already know something I want to put together and send each of you. Some of you have seen the template that I have for a simple model for a business plan, but I have some other documents that are sample business plans for small businesses and how they look when they're done. They're something that I think would be very useful for you to do to establish a business plan, and you probably heard me say that there is essential for a business as a blueprint is for an architect or a book outline is for doing a book. So I'm going to send you, and it will be for some of you resending, the basic business plan template, but then I want to send a couple of examples of business plans to give you an idea of how it may look for you to do that, because I hear about organization and focus and what's next. When you have a business plan, you have a map. And you've heard.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Okay, Deb.
Well, hello. This is Deb. I'm in Indiana. Been here about 28 years. I've been very involved in starting, building, and running a few successful businesses, creating business plans, analyzing the finances, setting up the bookkeeping, doing the payroll. I mean, I've had at one time 30 employees, and that was just in one of my businesses. At the same time, I was raising 4 children and trying to manage a home, and it kind of blew up in my face a couple years ago when I decided I was tired of being everybody's go-to person and nobody was meeting any of my needs. And decided to get a divorce and rewrite my life. And in the last 2 years, I've spent most of my time, in addition to running my businesses, deciding how to separate my assets and divorce and move on and rebuild my life. And I've been very successful at it, as a matter of fact. Been doing some personal coaching with Dave and applying the theories. One thing I will note is that I have been in a mastermind group in the past, and in order to be successful in a mastermind group, you have to set and follow through on your goals. And if you do, the success that you will attain will be beyond your wildest dreams, because I've seen it. I've seen the pros and the cons. I've seen the people that apply their theories, and I've seen the people that haven't. And so it's really up to you and how disciplined you are in following through. As far as this group, I have a new blog. I'm just about ready to finish up. I'm using HostGator to do it. And my target audience is young women about the sorority age. I'd like to be a mentor to them and guide them in managing their money and their relationships, and do that, you know, via a blog and building up a brand that way. So that's my story. And one more side note. I just want to say how happy I am to be in a group with women. I've never had the opportunity to be intimately involved with women in the business arena, and I've been stuck out here in the middle of nowhere with nobody like me to chat with or grow with, and I'm really excited about that. So high five, everybody.
Hey, well, thank you, Deb. And if you have anything to offer in terms of the business plan or anything that's worked for you in your multiple successes, we would welcome that. I think this is one of the huge benefits of the diversity and the experiences and successes of each of these, that you have successes in various areas and may be able to contribute in ways that we may not even know how or what to ask. But feel free to jump in and offer something or send it, and we'll be able to look at it then and benefit as a group from that. So thanks very, very much. Sue.
Hello. I'm excited to be here, too. I live in San Jose, California. I've lived in this area my whole life. So, I would love to just connect with people who are from different parts of the country, women who are, I hear a lot of the same things I'm going through, like, who am I, how am I going to pare down these multiple interests and passions into one coherent business? My background is that I've always loved psychology. I was in a master's program to become a therapist, and through coaching with Dr. K, who I call him Dr. K, I realized that I don't want to be a therapist. My passion is more in empowering and coaching. I focus on people who've struggled with loss, either death or specifically loss of health. I had a really serious injury, which completely turned my life around. So I kind of approach injury people, injury, surgery, loss of health, through a grief perspective, because there's a lot of grieving going on when your life changes. So, that's basically where my focus is.
Terrific. And what most would you like to get from our group?
I would love to hear how people in this group are creating a business out of all of these various passions. I'm a little bit struggling with the imposter syndrome right now. I have several clients that I've worked with, and I keep thinking when I'm done, wow, that was really exciting. And then I go home and I go, I don't know what I'm doing. Why are you trusting me with this? This is ridiculous. I'm a fake. I'm a fraud. So I want to own this and realize that I have something to contribute that other people might not be able to.
Okay. All right. Super. Is there anyone who would like me to send the link to the four seminar series I just did on change and transition, and especially what I'm thinking of now and hearing yours, Sue, is the first one is on the dynamics of change and transition. Did anyone not register that or need a link again for that?
Dave, this is Patricia. Would you resend it to me, please?
I'll resend it to the group. I'll do everything.
Okay, great. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
Dave, it's Diana. It's the one we just ended?
The
change transition.
Yes. There's an outline there, and then there's playback. The first one, which is about the dynamics of change and transition, is particularly what I was thinking about, but it's also some other things about walking through career other kinds of transitions and applications. So super. Emra.
Thank you.
Is Emra here?
Hi, I'm here. Sorry, I was muted.
Welcome. Okay.
I'm very excited to be here. Sorry I didn't get my bio in and my picture. Bad girl. I'll get that done promptly.
Great.
I'm originally from South Africa, been in the United States for 17 years, most which was spent in the Florida Keys, living in Savannah right now. We just arrived here because my husband had enough, and it's been a very interesting year of transition for me. Thank you, Dave, for that material. It's superb to listen to, and I'll have to do it again and again. I have had a big transition, of course, multiple transitions, relocating, divorcing after 25 years, letting go of my now adult mentally challenged daughter a few years ago. She lives independently, which was an amazing dream accomplished here in America for her. To this year of transition, I have been in the corporate world of training and development, started, always been coaching, but certified with CTA and then New Life Story with Dr. Dave about 3 years ago, and then started my own business 2 years ago. And the majority of that was corporate training, and started developing a few clients and spent everything we have on learning how to have a business and doing teleseminars and wonderful things. And I've always been a speaker as well, enhancing my speaking skills. And when we moved here a year ago, of course, my income fell flat because I was a trainer and all my work's in the Florida Keys. But it was an interesting year. I lost my dad, went back to South Africa, and a great shift occurred with me. It's been going on, obviously, for some time, but the final turn came, and I refound my space and place with God as a Christian. I kind of stepped out of that space when I got divorced. I didn't lose my belief that there is a God, but my lifestyle changed. But I returned back to that in a richer and fuller, deeper way, redefined my purpose in life, and the angle of my business changed. So I teach to be more, live more in purpose. Typically, my target audience has been young women, 25 to late 30s, that are in transition. It would help them really when they're considering having a business, all those fun, exciting dynamics, complex even relationships. Those are my clients. But as my shift changed, and I'm an all or nothing person, that my life has moved back to being and sharing this amazing generosity and extravagance of God, my whole language has a shift. So I'm busy redesigning my website, lovelivingtoday.net. It's also the name of my business, Love Living Today. So I have to change a lot of things in there. My free ebook has to change. My seminar, my workshops that I did, Tea Time Stories, has a different shift. And, of course, living here in the wonderful Bible Belt in the South, it's a very uncomplex place to do that. So I am writing a book, Tea Time Stories of Savannah, inspiring stories of women in the city and what they have actually done. So that's taken a shift. Some of the stories I no longer use, and I'm doing others where God has impacted a woman's life and what has happened in it. Finally got my strategic plan. I call it my jigsaw puzzle. So I'm very visual. I have this little jigsaw puzzle pieces that fit for each part of what I'm doing, my stories, coaching, speaking, writing, how that all fits into there. So that is my final place of change, which is just a beautiful place, is that one of my core values is to serve, and the other is that of joy. And I find that when I am giving and serving, my energy is endless. So I'm changing my business to becoming a nonprofit, or really a B Corp, doing all the research about that. Georgia hasn't accepted that yet, but South Carolina has, a lot of other states have, so I'm figuring out how to put that together. I'm going to do some grant writing, and really I'm going to be having my business in that capacity to serve women in transition, because there's so many of them in this city around me that hardly have enough money to put food on the table for their families, let alone for coaching, but desperately need it. I want to serve that in-between space through my nonprofit.
And mostly from our group, what would you like, Emra?
I think, as some of you have said, the enjoyment of like-minded thinking women that are building coaching practices, working in the capacities that we all have, all the growth that comes from that, the relationships that come from that, the learning, and of course, you know, being in the sprinkle of your presence again is just totally delightful for me. So that's it.
Terrific. Okay, thank you very, very much. Sharon.
Can you hear me now?
Hey. Got you. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just joined this morning, so I'm still working on my bio, and I'll be sending that out soon. So my background, I did 28 years in the Navy. The first 4 years were serving on a couple of ships. I was in the second wave of women that went to sea from 1980 through 84. Then I went into the reserves, stayed in the Navy, and my full-time career then was as a software engineer and I was in California. I'm a Californian. I was recalled for Desert Storm, did 6 months over there. I was, again, recalled after September 11th, and that time they sent me to the Office of Naval Research in Arlington, Virginia, because of my technical skills. And then when I went back into weekend drilling at the end of that 20-month stint, I was engaged and eventually got married and stayed in the D.C. area. So I'm also in the D.C. area. I live in Northern Virginia. And I am currently, when I'm being kind to myself, I would say I am in a cocoon preparing myself to emerge with a new identity for my third career. I've basically been setting myself up. I do a lot of change. I'm an adventurer. I have no problem with change and moving, and I've spent my life moving and meeting new people and all of that. But when I go through a transition, I tend to do it very slowly and deliberately so that when I emerge with a new identity, I'm fully competent and capable, and I think with my background, I've been tested a lot. And so I like to be able to stand up to the people who would look at me and say, you can't do that. And I look right back at them and I say, too bad, already done it. So let's get on with life. You know, obviously had to do that a lot in the Navy, had to do that a lot in software. So I've been preparing, and I've just written down all the things I've done to prepare for my third career, which is as a wellness coach. So the first thing I did, not realizing that it was for this, was when I first left active duty, I got an MBA. So I'm setting myself up to become a successful entrepreneur, and I already have the MBA. I'm really good at the finance and the accounting and all of the detail work. I'm really good behind the scenes. I'm an introvert. I really don't like, I like meeting new people, but I like doing it in small doses. So I'm really good at one-on-one, one-on-two or three. I get completely overwhelmed if I walk into a cocktail party. It's just really hard for me. So marketing myself has been a real challenge. So some other things that I've done to prepare for this new identity is a couple of years ago, I got a Cook certification through CTA with Dr. Kruger as my teacher. 2 years ago, I got a yoga certification, and I've been teaching yoga ever since. The Navy has given me one more opportunity to go back and get another college degree, so I'm currently working on a doctorate of health education. My dissertation is going to be on using mindfulness meditation as one of the tools, in addition to diet and exercise, to reverse diabetes. And my goal, I should say, I look at my strengths as leadership, operations, and taking on Mission Impossible. I look back over my life so far, and I've done a lot of, quote, impossible things. But my big weakness is the marketing and the sales, putting myself out there. And I will walk into the cocktail party. I've done this before. I'll walk into that situation where I really feel overwhelmed, and I know I'm going to feel overwhelmed. I walk into the room anyway, and I hone in on somebody, and I just start talking. So I do put myself out there, but so far I have not been successful in translating that into economic success. So I want to turn myself from a small-time entrepreneur with two yoga clients and one or two coaching clients. I want to turn myself into a full-time, fully self-supporting wellness coach with a vibrant worldwide practice doing yoga, blogging, authoring, speaking, you know, highly sought after wellness personality. Think Dr. Oz with a dress kind of thing. So that's what I want to get out of this is how do I take my skills and my drive and my fearlessness, but just translate that into something tangible, like a paycheck. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, thank you very much. Two quick comments. If the cocktail party you walked into was black tie and was with elegant people, likely it was organized and coordinated by Yana.
Actually, I've done some Navy stuff. Yeah, the last event I walked into was a formal Navy event. So no, it wasn't by Yana, but yes,
okay.
I have been to the previous inaugural balls. I actually feel comfortable getting dressed up. I can do that. I just don't convert it into dollars.
Yeah. Okay.
May I jump into that? I was going to say, Sharon, since you look that close, we can go together. I can invite you to my event sometime.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
Yeah. Okay. I'll introduce you. Well, we'll catch up later. Yeah.
Terrific.
Okay.
And the other thing is, you guys can disagree with me all day, but when you disagree with somebody who's been chief commander of two Navy ships, be careful. Okay, now, finally, Beth. Would you introduce yourself, please? Beth was possibly going to be able... Okay, you're able to join us?
I am.
Excellent. Thanks. Go ahead,
I've been listening. Hi, my name is Beth Vaughn.
I know you were in a different context today, so go ahead, please.
My name is Beth Vaughn, and I live in Houston, Texas. I'm actually a native from Houston, and I'm your Texas connection, along with Dave. And I started personal coaching with Dave, and then I entered into the new Money Story coaching program. I've completed that. Other than formalized coaching, I really don't have that background, but I'm not letting that stop me. I am educated as a pharmacist, and I currently work as a director of pharmacy in a small hospital in suburban Houston, and I love my job. However, I'm finding myself that I'm wanting to do more, and the catalyst of it was an injury that my husband had almost 20 years ago, and I felt like I had my life planned out within the pharmacy profession, and he was injured, traumatic brain injury, and that kind of has threw me into a different direction. And one that I really, really enjoy diving into is consciousness. And so I have done some learning in that area, and I actually became a teacher in SRT, which is a healing modality that's all about consciousness expansion. And I've recently become a trainer for the Monroe Institute in Virginia, where I'm bringing a program to Texas. And that's just a little bit about me. I think I just decided to do this mastermind group a couple of days ago, so I'm not quite clear about my role in it, but I do have some things to offer and some of the modalities that I've learned and the study that I've done, and I'd be more than happy to be a resource for everyone in the group. I'm really excited about this. I've never done this before, and to have a strong group of women is just thrilling to me, and really I look to the group and just helping me be a resource to some of the things that I want. And as I get clearer about how I want to roll out my money coaching or consciousness expansion coaching or something like that, I look to you guys as a resource. So I am very thrilled to be here, and I think that's about it for me.
And Beth, what would you like to get for yourself out of this group?
Clarity.
In any
around what? I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Business or personal?
Pardon me?
Business or personal?
Business.
Okay. Okay, got it. Okay, anything else that any of you would like to add or mention now? I want to spend just a couple of minutes going over the hot seat, take a break for maybe 5 minutes, a little bit early, and then come back at the top of the hour, and we'll have time for 3 15-minute hot seats before Art Wilson joins us at 45 after the hour. First, any clarifications or anything to add to anything that's been mentioned?
Hi, Dave. Hi, it's Anna. I just realized that we are all women. We are all women, and you're the only man. That's wonderful.
Just us girls.
Yes, I know. It's amazing. I'm like, wow, we are only women.
I know. It's the way it shook out. Probably a third of each of the New Life Story trainings have been men, more actually than the CTA trainings that I've done. I've probably trained about 1,100 people through CTA now, but and the percentages are maybe 1 in 10 there. So it's interesting for this.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
Dave, this is Patricia. Hi.
Uh-huh.
Hi, you know, I didn't get her name, but the gal who spoke in the beginning and used the phrase, which I adored, allude to my illness. Who was that? Do you know? Where she called her website was Queen Bee?
Oh, Debbie Morley, yes.
Oh, Debbie, because right. I left out a huge part of my life, particularly the last 5 years, because I did not want this whole this body that I'm about to enter with all of you, this body of work, to be about what I've been through the last 5 years. And I thought she said it so beautifully, and I really appreciate that, about alluding not to to necessarily ask for sympathy, but to allude to her illness, because 5 years ago, Dave, as you know, and I think perhaps Imbra did too, because Imbra, you and I have been together along the way a little bit. I don't know if you remember me, Patricia, but because I was diagnosed. I was practiced in India, extreme Kundalini practitioner, and was diagnosed with, thank God it was benign, but a benign tumor on my spine, and I was paralyzed for a year and went to USC Medical Center in a wheelchair and was told that perhaps I would never walk again.
Wow.
So my whole last 10 years went through a marriage of leaving my husband of 22 years, really finding myself and really doing a major course correction, and then finding myself working in the field of healing, and then discovering, you know, I say this lightly for some of you who may not agree with this philosophy, but what I brought about in my life as my life lessons, which was the hard knock of, okay, girlfriend, you know, if you're to be in a wheelchair, please let me do it with grace and strength and not be a whiner. So I am not, I came through it. I've been, had 3 years of intensive learning how to walk again, living, being in, you know, 2 months in the hospital away from my son. And I didn't know how, I sort of grappled with that a little bit, how to speak about that, because it was a big part of who I am and where I'm going. So I didn't know how to bring that about. So thank you so much for saying that so beautifully, alluding to my illness and not for sympathy. That really, really was profound statement for me, and I appreciate that. I just wanted you to all know that that's a good part of my life. So thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Just very briefly, and let's just take a minute or two break so that we'll still have time. Now, if we find that 15 minutes squeezes it, we need to do for the first group, for the first meeting, 2 20-minute times. We'll do that, because I don't want to press it and have you feel a time squeeze, because I hear the inner each of you in just really being able to talk. So I don't want to, you know, constrict it too much, but I'd like to frame it and have the framework of the work that we're going to do in the hot seat. I'd like you to, just in the next minute, while you're doing a break, I'm going to leave the phone line open. I'll step away from the phone for just a minute or two to reread the hot seat outline in the material that I sent you, the work pages of the Mastermind group. My goal is for each of you to have a hot seat every other month, so that you'll benefit in that way as well as in the overall discussion. I'd like you, if you would, to review what you'd like to submit after this time for hot seat presentation, and I'll help you shape or form that if it would be useful to you, and then we can sort of plan that for subsequent groups. So that'll be some of the homework that I'll do with each of you when you want to do that, so let me know. So I'll be back in a minute or two. And the line is open if you want to talk and be thinking about who would like to initiate being on the hot seat and review that, about just doing a succinct summary of the situation you want us to mastermind in a minute or two, and then I will summarize and focus that and then open it up for everybody to discuss. So I'll be back in just a minute or two, and we'll resume.
Do we all stay on?
Yeah. I think Sharon did.
We all,
yeah.
I want to say it's great to meet you all, ladies. It's wonderful.
For those of you on Facebook, this is Debbie Morley. I've already friended, I think, three of y'all. And you're welcome to look up.
Yeah.
Debbie Morley, MORLY. I'm the only one with the picture of wearing a tiara.
Yeah,
that's
great.
That's great.
It was a gift. It says Queen Bee on the tiara.
I got to see that.
And Lisa has beautiful dogs. I see.
Oh yes, they're my one is the best dog I've ever owned. The black one, and the brown one is.
Oh.
I must have done something terribly wrong, and I'm being punished.
Really?
He knows how to eat a carpet better than any dog I've known.
Oh,
I
gosh.
And I say, buddy, there is padding there. Beyond it is wood. You have whatever morsel was in the carpet fiber is consumed. Stop now.
My girlfriend adopted a dog and really helped the dog so much. The dog went into the neighbor's house and killed a cat. I mean, it was like, yeah, you know, wow. I was like, oh my gosh, you really don't know what you get, I guess, you know?
No. What kind of dog was it?
Oh my gosh, I don't know the breed. I'll find out and I'll email it to you. I don't know the breed. It was like a hunter dog, you know?
Oh yeah, well, that's what they do.
So Lisa, you're the one from New Jersey, correct?
I am, yes.
The hockey. Okay, I have a son who plays hockey, too. He's 6.
Oh, my God. I'm Tanya. I know every hockey up and down the East Coast. And
oh,
they just...
me too.
What's that?
Me too. Czech, you know, I'm from Czech, and then my son hockey, everything is hockey.
Oh, that, of course. Yes. Oh, I love it. I mean, I don't play. My soccer was my game, but this is close to it, and I love it. And, of course... As a spectator for so many years, I'm an expert. Just ask me. All of us parents, spectators, are experts. So.
Well, I was going to ask you, I would like to know, what did you tell the 17-year-old kids in the locker room? Seriously, I would like to hear that.
I told them, I said, guys, how do you like losing? And they said, we hate it. And I said, well, it's time to do something different, isn't it? And they said, yes. I said, I told them I coached, their coach could handle gameplay, and I coached from the neck up. So there were a couple of kids who were wise guys, and as soon as I said, you know, if you don't sit down, I will help you.
Yeah,
and the coach said, she's a black belt, you know. And, of course, I was joking around. I know these kids for a long time. And they turned and they said, are you really? I said, yes. Really?
Awesome.
I said, yes, would you like me to show you? Oh, no, I have to sit down. So we talked about mantras. I talked about a team brand.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are you going to be the chippy kids who get noticed as the ones who trash talk all the time, or are you going to be the gentlemen who don't? We talked about the focus and attention. I used some of Dave's stories from the New Life Story Coaching about the power of when you're all of you is going in one direction. They understood that.
That's awesome.
It was great. It was a really great experience. And it got to the point where as soon as we got there, well, they say to my son's name is Jess. He goes, Jess, where's your mom? Get her. I said, you guys come and find me when
awesome.
You're ready.
Awesome.
That's a great story.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to finish up. You know Wayne Gretzky, right? So that's exactly what I've been telling my son. And there is a beautiful story about his refrigerator and the calendar, and he didn't have any beer, but he had on the calendar already the goals. Meaning he already put the goals, he already put the assists which he's going to have, and everything in the calendar. So I've been telling my son, and he loves that, so he goes, okay, I'll go 2 goals, or whatever, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, they're just great. Kids are great, because they get it so easily.
They do.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of questions, thanks for sharing that's just a terrific.
Sorry.
What kind of questions do you have about the hot seat? Does that process? And those of you, Deb especially, you've had a great deal of experience with masterminds. I'm very eager to hear any best practices and recommendations that you have for the group about what's worked and what's not worked from your perspective or those of you who have done masterminds. But what kind of questions or input do you have about the hot seat process where we all then mastermind?
So, Dave, if I understand it correctly, so we'll each, every other month, we'll bring some subject to talk about?
Yes, and what I would suggest is that you run that by me a couple of days before the group so that we can go over that if necessary, or that I can help you focus in that way and we can plan for it. So, yes, my hope is that. Now, you don't have to feel pressured to do that, but I'd like you to be able to benefit going both ways. You know, it'll be a benefit to enter the mastermind discussion, and it'll be a different kind of benefit to be the recipient of that.
Okay.
This is a model very much like the Vistage groups. It's a group of CEOs. I'm a speaker there, and I'm very familiar with that group. They choose 2 to 3 people every month, and they have like a half-day meeting. I think that we can do that in a more succinct way, and I'd like each of you, if you're interested in doing it, to have an experience every other month. So any other questions or thoughts or clarifications about that? Who would like to start? And let's do two 15-minute groups, two 15-minute hot seats. Who would like to start?
I'll volunteer. This is Deb.
I volunteer too if you need seconds.
Okay, we'll do you a second. So Deb, you're familiar with doing a synopsis of the situation you want us to mastermind about, letting us know what kind of input you'd like, and if there's any clarification or summary, I'll do that and then we'll open it up. So thanks
all
for
right.
volunteering, and please go ahead.
My hot seat that I would like some suggestions is about how to quickly grow my blog. My targeted audience is the sorority girls on the college campuses, and I've got my blog just about ready to go live. I've got some articles that I've written. But I really would like some help on how to quickly grow my list. And it sounds to me like especially some of the people in our group, the marketing specialists, would probably help me the best, you know, as far as directing me where to go. And that's what I would like help with.
Terrific. That's very succinct and very specific. Let's open it up. Let us know first what you've done so far. Where are you in that process so that we'll get a real feel for now?
Where am I at? Okay. I've set my blog up on Hostgator. I've studied to become a blogger. I've got it all. I'm going to manage it myself. I set up my Twitter account, and I'm going to do the Instagram to target that audience because the ladies seem to really like that. I've laid out an article structure for the next year, and I would like to do one per week and post on my blog. And what I basically was targeting as far as the ladies would be to start out at the beginning of, like, the year, which I'm a little into the year, of setting their goals for the year, but starting with developing a good sense of self and then growing the sense of self into an awareness of mind, body, and spirit, and trying to teach them to think a little deeper and to think through their decisions and how their decisions will color their whole lives. Does that answer your question?
Yes, yes, okay. So you already have the blog, you have one or two done, and have you launched it yet?
I did, but not on Hostgator, so no.
Okay, so you've done a soft launch.
A soft launch, yeah. And I have, it was on Blogspot, and I decided to change, so.
Okay, great. Well, let's open it up. I know some of you have done blogs. What are your thoughts?
This is Lisa. There's an excellent expert in blogs. His name is Derek Halpern. It's DerekHalpern. He runs a curriculum called Blogs That Convert. I have it. It's excellent. And his biggest tip about growing a blog, he calls it your superpower solution. So from the very beginning, try to hone in on one specific topic. It's the niche theory. Choose it, keep it narrow, really establish your position as the pro, and then you can use that to branch out. I know Dave's used the expression lowest hanging fruit. Same thing. But his singular most memorable contribution for me to date was at the very top of his blog, before he gets into any information, he lists specifically in a feat, he calls it the feature box. It has the three benefits to participating in this blog and subscribing to his list right out of the gate. So that big subscribe box isn't a little tiny dialog box off in the margin somewhere, or it's not a little button that says subscribe. It literally goes the length of the blog, and that's how you'll subscribe. So it's the first thing people see and do. And from there, the growth tends to be more rapid because then you go on to the data. So you're already engaged because the three things you'll see first are how this will most benefit you by participating.
His name was Derek Halpern. Would you spell that again for me?
Yes, it's Derek Halpern, Halpern. And once you see this guy, you will never forget him. His website is called socialtriggers.com. So he took a neuroscience spin to blogging, and his topic is about why people do what they do in terms of business. He will even direct content, how to position yourself as an expert, how to integrate a sale into your blog so that you don't come off as pushy. I mean, a lot of people will write this great article and wrap it up with a hard-pressed sale and can deter people from remaining on that list.
Excellent.
Terrific stuff.
This is Debbie. I have just attended another workshop on social networking, you know, for business. And one of the things that they were saying is, you know, these little cute pictures that everybody shares via Facebook, that if you put the time and energy into creating, just taking simple pictures and putting things that target your audience, but are cute enough that they'll share them, and then you create a Facebook page for your business, and then you ask all your friends and family to start posting these little sayings that you have. And pretty soon, you know, you can get one or two that can go viral if they're good enough. And then the college students, if they're aimed at them, then they'll share them within themselves, you know, their own networks as well. And that's how to get, you know, information or people driven to your Facebook page for your blog or your company, which then in turn drives people to your blog.
So when you're talking about simple pictures, do you mean like Instagram or just uploading onto the Facebook?
Yeah, because if you look at all the things, like if you're on Facebook and your friends and family will do pictures that say, you know, oh, I love everybody, or, you know, whatever the latest, you know, thing is. There's, you know, always 20,000 on my Facebook page and from my family and stuff. But if you do those, then people just start sharing them. And if you have on there your blog address down at the bottom, that's how you get people going, oh, I wonder what this lady has to say, and then they go to that website.
Okay. Thank you.
Cool. But you can post them on your Facebook page. Do you have to check into the rules for having a Facebook page for a business? You can only advertise your business 20% of the time. The rest of the time, you can have helpful comments. You know, so those pictures and things would help as of, you know, as you're trying to help people, you're putting out helpful suggestions in the form of pictures that can get shared.
Okay.
Great stuff, Debbie. Thank you.
This is Lisa again. The other way to grow subscribers to your blog is to cross-blog with others. So if you know someone else who has a blog that's already active and has a big subscriber list, you can say, hey, go check out so-and-so's, or mention it and try to recruit subscribers from their list to yours. So long as your material is relative, you basically share resources. And because you come with the endorsement of someone else already who's established with a subscriber base, you already have a vote of confidence.
Okay, that's a great idea.
So that's where you really get conversations going. And
right.
You can leave a comment on blogs that are related to yours, which you'll know about through Google Alerts, because they will send in the bottom part of the email each day for whatever you do as a Google Alert, they'll send the blogs that are related, so you can go and see if it's anything you want to comment about. And in the comment, you might also be able to leave your blog reference and a link for someone to go to your blog. So that gets conversations going. You may even invite people at the end of your blog to comment, which lets them know that you're interested in receiving comments, so that you get conversations going. There's also a way to set up, as soon as you post a blog, that it automatically posts on LinkedIn, on Twitter, on Facebook, the title of the blog by you and the link to the blog, so that people automatically know until they begin to sign up. And the suggestion about the that Lisa had about the sign up is terrific. Best I've heard about that too.
Yes, and for those that are looking for a service that provides that, the one that gets the highest mark that's very reasonably priced is AWeber. It's AWEBER.com. There are instructions on how to use that. I have found that I have a vocabulary in this industry, and I still found it a little bit challenging. So I welcome any of you who would look into it to give me a call independently, and I'll help walk you through. But it automates blog announcements through all of your, just like Dave said, Twitter, Facebook, and you're charged, I believe it's 19-something a month if you have a subscriber list that's under 500. The prices go up another $10 a month as your list grows. But the gaps are very large. I mean, it's like, I think, 500 and then 2,500. So it's a great one. And remember, you cannot send emails, a lot of emails from a singular address. And this is a company that enables you to get the word out to large groups of people, ultimately, so that you're not blackballed by the Internet people that say you can't do that, because they will. I know that's a topic for another time, and we can talk about that another time for those that have questions, but hey, just look up AWeber and read about it. It's a great way to disperse your blog.
Good point. I'll also send a link to a source that has a list of blog search engines that you can submit to for free, that they will disperse your blog to like-minded sources. So I'll send that. You're going to get a bunch of attachments from me. There are a couple of articles that I have about blogs that may be helpful. and I'm making a note of this.
Hi, Dave. This is Sharon. I have a question. I was invited to participate in a website called Masters Channel, where they upload videos that various people, including me, if I participate, we upload helpful training videos, and it's like it's a health and wellness sort of online community. And there were going to be commission payments. You know, people would pay to view the videos, and then we would get a share depending on how many people viewed our video, et cetera. And I was all excited about this. And then all of a sudden, they came out and started asking for people to discuss what was going to happen at the end of the Mayan calendar. This was a few months ago. And, you know, I noticed that there are links for astrology. And, you know, this has gotten real new age. And I'm thinking, oh, boy, do I really want to be associated with a new age group when I'm trying to establish myself, or, you know, I consider myself more evidence-based and scientific and all of this. And I'm just wondering, you know, if the group could just tell me, it's like, this is a very large group here. So I'm thinking, okay, is there room for everybody, or should I run away?
I'm interested in the group's impressions in this one.
I'll chime in. This is Lisa. I say run, don't walk.
Yeah, very good.
If it's not your group, just you can't get out of it quickly enough.
Okay, that's a good impression. It sounds like that fits almost with your gut impression, Sharon. Let's be scientific about this for just a brief moment. The Mayans knew the secret of life. They knew when the world was going to end. They knew how to engage the secret of life. A simple question: how many Mayans do you know today? I don't think it worked.
Love it. Love it.
So enough for science. Let's go back.
Thank you. I, you know, that was my gut feeling, but I just thought, okay, am I overreacting? But thank you. I feel better now.
For each of you, and I will say this to every one of you in this group, I will always bet on your guts, because you have developed and honed your instinctual reactions, and you can trust them. And you will know the difference between an instinct of your gut reaction and the anxiety or trepidation about doing something new and different. There's a difference. You'll feel it different, you'll know it, and you'll be able to trust your gut. And don't confuse the anxiety and uncertainty of doing something new and creating a new pathway in your brain with your real instinct that bypasses all the logical and reasoning stuff. Any other final response? We've got just a minute or two. Any other final response? That was a great series of responses. I learned some things, obviously. Anyone else?
I have one more quick tip. Again, it's a polarize a topic. When you create an opportunity for controversy, not nasty controversy, but where there may be polar opposites of opinion, it tends to generate a very heated debate. And it can garner a lot of results for you as well.
Okay, great.
I heard one guy who has a very successful blog say, you know, I'll just write something controversial, even if I'm not sure I believe it, just to get some responses. So I think there are definitely people who believe that. One thing that I would say is tell stories, because that's, you know, you guys know this, and my bias about it, this is how we learn, how we remember. I've noticed that the blogs that I do that involves some personal story first and then some other story second get far and away more responses than something that's just, you know, a blog that has no story. So tell stories. Tell your own stories if they at all apply, and look at the principles and the bridge to the comments. And look at, if you don't believe that, look at any, go to Barnes & Noble if it still exists in your area, and go to the nonfiction book section, pull off any book that's doing well, and chapter one, I guarantee you, will begin with a story. Every nonfiction book that does well begins with a story.
True.
Super. Thank you. Deb, did that help you?
It really did, especially the A. Weber. That'll help me a lot.
Great.
I appreciate all the input. Thank you so much.
Super. Thank you all very, very much. Yana, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. This is wonderful. I totally love it. I think you answered my question already with the guts. It's very interesting when we believe in something inside. We know, you know, it's like it will work. But so I mentioned that before in my introduction. So I want to switch into coaching children. I just don't know which age would start working. I have a 5-year-old son, and he's going to be 6 in a couple of weeks. And I have to say, since I started, you know, coaching fields and using the coaching questions, I even coach him in a matter that I ask him questions, like, what does he think about that? What would be beneficial for him, or what the food is going to do to his body? It's amazing, the responses. It's just totally out of world. And I share something with Dave, what he said the last time. It was just amazing. So my big dilemma is, I would like to start at 3 years old or 4 years old. Maybe it's too young. I don't know if any of you has background, you know, in coaching children or not. But I would like to have your thoughts on it, like how old the children we can start coaching.
Interesting question. What are your thoughts?
I know.
Yana, this is Debbie.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you that, number one, on a personal note, I love the idea. My sister did not teach my nephew how to make decisions. She never asked him what he thought or just basically taught him how to think. And he's 35 and still just kind of floating through life, making bad decision after bad decision.
I feel like it's all of us, you know. That's why the different approach with my son. Go ahead, sorry.
But I also think that you have to wait until they're at least school age, because in school is where they start learning to think in terms of different attitudes.
You mean school age, like what kind of school age?
A minimum of 5. I would almost think older than that, 7 or 8. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Hi,
I like the 5. Hi, Emra.
Hi. I have a little 3-year-old grandson. My daughter's a school psychologist.
Uh-huh.
And I've been reading some aspects and watching the way she's raising this little guy and her 1.5-year-old little girl. And then I thought back on how I raised my mentally challenged daughter, who was in little people stage for an incredible amount of years of her life. So I really had to get skills on how do you speak to, how do you change, and how do you facilitate choice making and thinking for little people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that 3 is too young to start. It has to be very short sentences, not too many options, but clearly some of the skills that we have in coaching, in taking responsibility, I feel, or not... you did this. That is wrong. But it seems to mommy, or it seems to me, that that's what happened. Can you explain that? Or and then give them options.
Mm-hmm.
Not just tell them do this or don't do that. But if you do this, this will happen. We're going to go out now. If you don't get dressed now, just giving, and I think that's how the coaching is different, teaching them that there are options, that you do have choices, but that also consequences.
Absolutely. I've been doing this with my son, and I really, I can tell, it's amazing. He surprised me sometimes. I ask him something, and he goes, Mom, it's your choice. What do you think? He's, like, very aware at age 5, you know. But I was thinking 3 years old, but then, like you said, it has to be short. It has to be very specific.
Oh, this is Lisa. It sounds to me like the parents would need to be a significant part of this equation.
Mm-hmm.
I know from when things occur at my kids' schools, I'm very friendly with the principal, and he'll tell me, we can only do our best here, but at the end of the day, they go home to parents, and we find that the parenting style overrides many of the things we accomplish in the day. So even though you can have coaching for a child, if the coaching style is different at home, or if there isn't any, and the parenting style defies it, how much impact could it really have in a lasting? I mean, you may develop that rapport with that child, but outside of that, I'm concerned it might not carry into that child's routine enough so that it benefits as much as it could if the parents were not integrated into the process.
Right, if the parents don't understand the process, right. I was actually thinking about a book which would be interactive between those two, parents and child, and bringing, you know, the same questions to both of them. So, yeah, it was my thought, like, so they deepen their understanding each other, because that's what I feel like the parents mostly don't even understand their own children.
Right,
that's a good idea. Ginger, I'd like to add, if I can.
What was that?
This is Ginger. I just wanted to add that every time I work with children, it always, every time the child presents with an issue when they're very young like that, in the 3 to 4, you know, maybe even up to about 6 or 8, when they present an issue, a lot of times it's reflected in the parent, and I don't work with children without working with the parents.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is, well, maybe I didn't also put it the way what I'm trying to accomplish is to bring these, like a little after-school program, like a program to schools, which would be after-school program for children, you know, helping them to understand themselves, their mind, their body, you know, what they can do now, to basically understand themselves better. So they growing up as a healthy individual, and they will be healthy individual once they grow up, you know, helping them with relationships, with everything.
Let me add a comment to the recent additions that you've mentioned, because I think those are an important point, because it does seem to depend on the child and at least the primary parent, that your alliance for very young children will have to be with the parent as well as with the child.
Yeah.
So that's one consideration that the parent will either facilitate or interfere. So it seems to be, you know, one possibility in considering that would be to collaborate with the parent who you're going to engage initially anyway, most probably, to collaborate with the parent about whether that parent feels that you would be more effective with the child to coach the parent how to coach the child, or to work directly with the child. Or you'll probably have a way of discerning some questions to be able to make that recommendation, because sometimes it may be that you could be more effective in coaching the parent for very young children to be the coach for the child, and sometimes you may work directly with the child. I mean, consider a parallel here of child psychiatry and psychology that very young children are worked with. They're worked with effectively, and they're worked with individually at times, but the parents for very young children are always taken into the fold of the process of what goes forward, and it's a different matter for teens, where confidentiality needs to play a specific role there, and it's different for very young children. So there are a number of things about the context to take in mind about the primary caregiver. And never forget about the primary person, if the primary person is a nanny. Because that could be the primary caregiver. And that could be a really crucial factor, because the relationship of the nanny to the parent, to the child, and where you fit in is going to be an important factor. So just some things to think about.
Dave?
Yes.
Hi, this is Patricia. I would love to, if I may, just comment also from I have a son, 20 now, but I remember when he was I think it was third grade, they had asked me to do a fundraising project for the four third grades, the different classrooms. And one of the things was that we wanted to, sort of in keeping with programs like governmental programs like No Child Left Behind and all of those, we always included the parents in, which is what Lisa and Dave were saying, in collaboration. And I have my personality, I tend to jump ahead into the bigger picture, but I see such a profound opportunity in what you're doing to create, for instance, created a project called the Puzzle Project. And in each classroom, I talked to the children about what that was about, and then we talked to the parents with the children about dialoguing, about if you could see the world anyway, what would it look like? But it involved conversations between the parents and the child.
Right.
Because, of course, just like you're all saying already, you know, when you go home, that's what's going to impact them, is how the parents dialogue. And when the parents catch that child speaking or saying or doing something, it's how the parent catches and takes that beautiful moment and opportunity of reframe in the moment with love from the heart and catching that dialogue moment. So to me, it's really a beautiful thing to be able to, if you can catch it along the way with the dialogue of the parent as well. So what a great, great opportunity you have here.
Yeah, so it would be more, if I understand, like both sides, basically working on both sides. I love it, yeah. And what is coming to my mind, I could actually design like a program for children and their parents. You know what I mean? Like the groups of 10 parents and their children,
and,
or eight
and
parents.
Also, and with that, what I did in creating that program is I just did my homework as far as programs that are already out there in the school, and then how we could come in, like, you know, just looking at programs like No Child Left Behind. Well, a lot of those programs, guess what? They have training manuals for the parents, how to speak to the children. They also have training manuals for the teachers because they're with your children all day long. So to me, what you have is a gold mine and a wonderful opportunity, a teaching opportunity for all the people that impact those children.
Right.
Thinking of depending on what your gut, your heart, who is your real target? Because if you're thinking of children in inner cities, children that have really complex home environments where you will not reach the parent, is there still something that can be done to teach that child that he is beautiful, that she is loved? All those vital core structures that they may never hear from home or in the school that they're in, but what you can do for them can change their lives forever. So it just depends. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have different markets, but there seems to be different products for different areas.
That's what I was thinking to start offering it as an after-school program, you know, especially, I spoke already, you know, a couple of schools, and they have this program called Bar T where the kids basically go after school and they wait until their parents get there until 6 o'clock, right? And they loved it. They were like, this would be amazing because that's exactly, you know, these children usually they don't see their parents much and they don't have much interaction with the parents. Yeah.
Donna, this is Sharon. I institute a website that I came across as part of my studies in one of my courses.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to back up and say, I'm not a parent. I've never had children. I've been a step-parent a couple of times. But so I'm not coming from personal experience dealing with even young children. But you might find this website fascinating. It's the Sudbury Valley School. It's a private set of schools, and the website is S as in Sam, U-D, V as in Victor, A-L.com. They take preschool, but they didn't define the age. I couldn't find a definition of what do they call preschool, but preschool through high school, through, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly. Mm-hmm.
And
that's what I was thinking.
Read through that website, they have a completely different way of relating to children of all ages. They have no classes. They don't teach anything. They consider each child to be fully capable of making appropriate decisions about what they want to learn. And the people grow up. It's amazing. If you give the child the opportunity, they will function with childlike enthusiasm. I was going to say like an adult, but better than adult. They figure out what it is they need to learn to accomplish what it is they want to accomplish, and they are voracious in their appetite for learning. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it's fascinating. You might find this interesting.
Thanks for all of your input, and I'm going to interrupt now. Yana, was that helpful to you? Did you get what you were hoping for?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's a different idea. Yes, I'm, you know, growing brain.
Let me emphasize here, too, that this is an example of how we can continue to give feedback. If there are things that you think about, things that you run across, send it to all of us. As soon as we get the Facebook posted, we can do it that way. What I'd like to do in spending the last 4 or 5 minutes before Art gets here is to ask you if you would, in one sentence, say the best thing that you're taking away from today, in one sentence, if you have an action plan that you're going to commit to before next meeting. One sentence each. Anyone? Your best takeaway, an action plan.
This is Debbie.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Debbie.
Oh, okay. The thing that I'm taking away from today is camaraderie. I'm just really enjoying the energy from everyone. My action plan commitment for this month is to get my new website, shemakestherules.com, up, as well as to launch the Queen Bees coaching website.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Someone else is
speaking. Can I go?
Yes.
Okay, it's Jana again. So I'll start with the action plan. Yeah, I will follow up and do more research on what Sharon, you know, recommended and just follow up with and even start like a little small group coaching little children. I would love to do that. And our best takeaway is it's just a great group. It's a very good dynamic. It's wonderful. It's really wonderful.
Thank you. Who else?
This is Deb.
Deb, I heard you. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm going to launch my blog, which is yourhousemom.com, and I'm going to grow my list by using the techniques that we discussed in the hot seat, and I'll have it ready by next month. That's my plan.
Great. And someone spoke at the same time as Deb.
Yeah, this is Ginger. My biggest takeaway from the group is that I actually cried for 15 minutes after I introduced myself, and I'm going to explore what the heck that was all about, and I'm really looking forward to whatever's going to happen with this mastermind, because I really feel like it's the right place to be, and I will do my best not to be a downer. I really appreciate all of your positive energy, and looking forward to collaborating. Thank you.
Super.
This is Art Wilson. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Art. Yeah, give us about. Can you call back in about 2 more minutes?
Absolutely.
We're doing our final wrap up.
Oh
just,
my gosh. Okay.
Two minutes on the clock, and we're on. Go ahead. Who's that? Who else?
This is Lisa.
Hi, this is Sharon. Oh, go ahead, Lisa.
Okay, I wanted to get connected with some big thinkers, and I think that's obviously happened. And I can tell that this is going to put a fire under my seat to get what I know out in circles like ours a whole lot more often, because it's obviously necessary. So that's it. That's my takeaway.
Terrific. Thanks. And Sharon?
I love collaboration, and I think this is the group. So I'm taking away the collaboration effort. And my action is I've already hired a, several months ago, hired a website redesign company, but I've been dragging my feet. Before the next meeting, I will get them the materials they need to relaunch my website.
Terrific. Excellent. Thanks. Who else?
Imran?
Yes.
My rich, full group, great experience ahead. Thank you to each of you. Want you to know that I'm here to be of service in any way I can at any time, even if it's just a shoulder to lean on when you're feeling mad and angry or sad. And what I will do before our next call is such a list. Okay, I'll commit to doing the changes on my website that I need to do.
Okay. Got it.
This is Patricia.
You guys know I'm writing these commitments down, don't you?
Right. You are. And it's recorded.
Exactly, it's recorded.
This is Patricia.
Never mind, this one of the girls' stuff. This is your Dutch uncle talking. Who else?
This is Patricia. Listening to all of the stories and seeing what skills and motivation and from the stories from everyone, I really am hoping and sure that my courage to step up to the plate for myself is really going to be just taking off. My action plan is that I don't know if it's going to be a business plan yet, because what I really want to do is really listen, observe, and learn from all of you as to and hone in on what I, how I want to create. But I'd like to write some type of a plan down.
Okay.
Is that good enough? Not being a business plan yet.
Great. Excellent. Thanks. Sue or Beth, anything you want to log in on?
This is Sue.
Yes.
I'm feeling very privileged to be part of this group. I wasn't expecting to join, and in your encouragement, I feel like I should. So, thank you.
Okay, terrific. Now, the key, one final statement, the key, I believe, to really making this work even better. We have an outstanding group of people, and you heard it, you know it, you feel it. Thanks for all of your energy. The key is making the group a process rather than an event, and to continue the process and to share the relevant aspects that you believe will be beneficial. And I'll set up the confidential Facebook page, and I'll be sending out some things. So keep it a process, and I'll be sending out a reminder and a couple of other things before our next group. Is my buddy Art Wilson here? Okay.
I am.
Okay, welcome. Hey, let me do just a brief introduction, Art, and then let you take it away. Art Wilson is a great buddy of mine. He began his career at IBM in 1969 in computer sales, was one of the company's national top sales representatives in the U.S., one of the top 10 for 5 years, and after 23 years in executive management, left as a senior executive at IBM to take his to begin his own company. In 1995, he started Critical Path Strategies, which is a global employee-based sales consulting firm. Art and the CPS team that he assimilated have consulted with more than 20,000 executives and sales professionals from over 300 Fortune 500 and emerging companies, and specializes in improving selling organizations. And Art more recently has begun his own second company, his consulting firm, and he developed while IBM the facilitation model that has become the industry standard. It's the one he gave me permission to share with you in the training earlier. And that's what he's going to talk about. And just one other final thing. Apart from these world-class achievements, there are two that are foremost in my mind. One is he originated the gulp factor principle that I've shared with you. And we coached our sons. He and I coached our sons in their first 2 years of basketball when he lived in Houston. So those are his most crowning achievements. So I give you Art Wilson.
Yeah, I agree. How many folks do we have on the phone?
We have 10 and me.
Okay, great. Well, I want to make this interactive. I thought, how long do we have, Dave? About 30 minutes?
45 minutes. We stop at
45 minutes.
Quarter past the
okay.
hour. If you want to talk for 15 or 20 and do a discussion for 15
yeah.
or 20, however you want to configure it.
Okay. And did you send out this little process model chart, Dave, to the group?
Have you sent that to me?
I sent it to you, so we can send it to you afterwards if that
okay.
would be helpful. And I'm very excited to be here, both with my friend Dave, one of my best friends, and to talk about facilitation. And I assume everybody on the phone call has done facilitation and is probably good at it in a number of different ways. And I just want to talk about my philosophy, why this is really my passion. It's the most fun thing that I have to do, and just to take you back is how I got started and how I really got into this when I left IBM in 1992 and really started on my own. And I got some coaching from this wonderful man who was old at the time to me. He was 65. I was 45. It doesn't seem so old anymore. And I take a walk with him every week up in Hunt, Texas. And he had sold an insurance company and went into doing training for executives. And I said, Walter, what's the key thing that I should kind of frame my practice in now that I'm by myself? And he says, well, that's a good question. He says, Art, it's really kind of simple. Pick the stuff that you are most passionate about doing that have the highest value to the people you work with, and work with people you like, and you will have almost no bad days. And I can tell you for the first 10 years, at the end of 10 years, I counted back, and I'd only had 10 bad days. And sometimes working for a big company, even when things were good, it felt like I had 30 in a month. So anyway, I got into this by found another old fellow when I was in my 20s who was in his 50s at the time in IBM in our region that had about 500 salespeople, and he did strategic planning, early strategic planning internally for sales teams selling computers. And for customers. And so I got a hold of him and had him run one for one of my customers, City of Austin. God, this guy just did so great. I asked him 3 or 4 times more during the next year to do it for the clients. And he finally said, Art, you have seen me do this 3 or 4 times. There's 500 salespeople in this region. You don't have the biggest territory by any means. I think it's time for you to start facilitating. I said, Bob, I don't have any gray hair. He says, no. He says, today I'm going to do the same thing I've done before, and not too far into the session, I'm going to turn the marker over to you. I said, oh, my God, you can't do that. I'm only 24 years old. And so that's what happened, and it actually came out pretty good. And so I started doing this as a hobby, not for any income for IBM, internally and with customers. And one of the things I'd like you to think about, if you're not doing a lot of this, either pro bono or with your clients, is I found it was like when I was in sales, it was like making 100 sales calls on very important people in a couple of days. And I did get to know them, particularly as a team, not individually that well, but they really got to know me, and through the conversations, it enables my company and me to do very, very well in a number of different ways. So I took this on when I left IBM and was going around to people I knew, and I had a pretty good network, and asked them what they wanted that would be highest value for the time spent. And they said, Wilson, if you could just transfer some best practices of world-class teams, then I'd pay you a lot of money. And so that's what I did. I had 10 things I thought I might want to do, and this happened to be the one that worked the best. So I put together a process really oriented around large account and complex sales, started doing that, and put it into a process and started bringing some contract folks on to help me with it that had similar experience, and eventually started licensing that for $1,000 a head plus a facilitation cost, and was lucky enough to have some wonderful people join me, the XDPs and CEOs of my company, and we just had a great time and did well financially and helped a lot of people, I think, or helped them help themselves. So let me talk a little bit about facilitation, and I really like the word strategic planning. But in the context of looking maybe a year out or within a project, a year out with a company and within a project. And I really look at, I know all of y'all are experienced coaches, and it's probably more similar to coaching than it is to presenting and directing as a leader. But it's really about enabling this conversation that really pulls from the team insight. That's typically information they really don't know they know. And through the process really creates that energy for an actionable strategy that I'll talk about in a few minutes. And in this case, it gets this team very passionate in a way that at a minimal will cause some actions that produce better results than if they hadn't gone through the planning process. And at its best, will be an exciting journey for this team that they may not have had before, and produce some really extraordinary results for their stakeholders. And doing this with a similar thought process, that will really enable and improve the, members of the team experientially, and for the ones that continue to try this, that reinforcement will tend to make it a different conversation in the way they address issues, projects, organizations, teams, et cetera. So do we want to break here just to see if there's any questions, Dave? I'm used to being more interactive in this.
Exactly how you'd like to do it. You know,
let's do that.
I've presented this as saying that this works if you want to facilitate a PTO board of directors all the way to an executive team, and as you
That's
do to Fortune 100 companies and their senior executives. So this is a model that works across the board. So that's all I want to say, and I'll be quiet.
Yeah, up and down the organization. So why don't somebody speak out and ask me one or two questions, and I'm going to take you through kind of my process at a high level, how it might be different, some things you might want to remember when you're doing this in front of mine. Because it does take a number of iterations of doing this to really get in the rhythm. So let's break here for a second and let's have some questions. If you all, who would like to speak first? This is the interactive piece, folks.
I think I'd be more interactive if I heard the process first.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. And then a process is basically, if you look at building a strategic plan, it's pretty simple. You got to identify something that's important, and you got to get an executive sponsor or a sponsor that's going to get the right people to the table and to invest the time. And so with that, I typically sit down with a sponsor of one of these sessions, whoever they are, and I talk about, okay, what do you want to see have happen after this meeting if it's successful? And if it's extremely successful, what else would you like to see happen? And by the way, who would be the core team members that should be involved in this? And so we get that, we schedule, do the logistics, get them in a room. I have a number of different formats, but it's typically some of the same key things that you want to do. What you want to end up with, and what we look at, is an outcome or things that attributes of these really extraordinary teams is they have a everybody on the team has a very explicit goal in mind and some time frame. They've got a series of six or eight things that will probably not much more than that, that will at least barely give them the best chance to get to the extraordinary goal. And then they have some, against those, they have some best next actions, and I'm talking about the next 2 or 3 weeks against these milestones or strategies, things that people commit to specifically with a name and a target date, accountability. And then they're clear roles of the team, of what kind of, what is going to be the role in this cross-functional team, whatever it is. And so to do that, I typically will start with, okay, if we're looking at this project, if we're looking at the organization, who are the key stakeholders? Who are the key stakeholders that, so it might be vendors, or it might be the customers, or it might be, various functions within the company, et cetera, shareholders, et cetera. So we get the 5 or 6 or 10 stakeholders, and then we want to kind of look at a current state of where things are. So I basically get them to write down what the most positive and negative thing is, each one of them, that they believe that stakeholder sees of them or this project today. And then we capture that and consolidate that. And then I typically take them through the agenda, and one of the first things I like to do is not just ask them what their most important personal objective is, but what the biggest issues are that keep them from being successful in this project. And what that does is kind of get some of the trash elephants in the room out on the table, and expands everybody's view of the issues and the opportunities for this, and starts the conversation. And then so we go through those challenges. I've got a visioning technique I use to basically get them to step out at that time of the extraordinary goal with some of the key stakeholders and talk through why those stakeholders thought it was so successful. And then from that, typically develop the goals, clear stretch of extraordinary goals, both from the project and from the stakeholder view sometimes, and then kind of pick key initiatives or strategic projects, 3 or 4 of them that will give them the best chance to get that level of success, and then get some work plans under each of those, again, go on to goals, key strategies, et cetera, best next actions, and then what are the roles within that. And then I do a very effective Excel report out. I'd be glad, Dave, to send it to you. You can send it to them if it'd be helpful.
Terrific. Okay.
And get it into a format that really is not a report as much as it maps to the thought process and conversation they went to and helps them activate this project or this organizational strategy. And then the idea is to communicate that to the stakeholders in the right kind of way and then implement these actions and hold people accountable with a lot of short conversations versus big meetings. In a way that will start getting momentum to this. And for the best teams, they kind of get a chemistry that starts with that planning session and then improves as things go on. And so you'll really see these teams, and I've been privileged to be on a number of them. You tend to see them get an energy within the team, and we've all seen this. And so it's a lot of these teams I found out when I got into this, some you'll see these teams that do it, and the leaders and the people on it really don't know how it happened. And so it's really trying to get people to act out these best thinking practices and conversation practices and accountability, hoping that if they do it enough, then it'll become natural and intentional. So that's kind of the process. Did that answer your question, ma'am?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, it does. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Now, is there any questions?
How long does a process like this take? Or is it
from,
across the board?
It's an hour to 2 days. And it just depends on the project, the number of people, the complexity of it, et cetera. Most of my organizational planning sessions are 1.5 to 2 days. And one of the reasons is I like to get them together because it's an opportunity to build team and relationships also with this networked world the way it is. And but it takes a good day and a half. I don't do them in less than a day and a half. But if it's a specific problem or type of problem, as little as 1 to 2 hours. And if it's a project, it's typically about a half a day.
Is it on site, on their premises?
Most of them are on site, but I've done a lot of them. I've worked with Microsoft, did a lot of strategies for their largest accounts over the years, and did a lot of those online. And what you have, I don't do much of that anymore. I'd like to because I like being here at the back of my barn looking up at the ranch here. my assistant, who's my daughter, who's on the phone, Ann Wilson, we were talking about how we need to probably, if we were to sell versus just take a business that comes to us, we need to do more of that. But it really, if you're doing an organizational strategy and something complex, you really do need to get them together. If it's a simple project, yeah, you can put over the phone. Keeping people focused for over an hour or two is very difficult on the phone. So if it takes longer than that, what I typically do is split it up into pieces and do it in 2 to 4 different sections with a little homework. Does that answer your question, ma'am?
Sure does.
Okay.
Let me share my experience in doing this with Art and emphasize how when we talked about it before, just briefly we talked about it as how much it amazingly parallels the simple coaching model that when I participate, when I was one of the members of the group who Art facilitated in this way, we met, I think, at Art's ranch about 3 or 3.5 hours, which has kind of become a model that I use. And in the beginning, he asked for one or the two of the biggest issues that have kept this group from achieving success as a group, which is to say, In the coaching model, what would you like us to focus on? Because it's already the issue that's out there. This just crystallizes it. The second, when he says, if you walk out saying this is one of the best meetings I've ever been in, what would it be? In other words, where do you want to end up? What do you want to take away? When he talked about the key stakeholders, the most important positive and negative things, that's looking at it from a different perspective. 6 months from now, if we executed well and moved this organization along, what would you like people to say differently about the group or the stakeholders to see differently? And then to move that in eliciting things from the group, what are the initiatives to brainstorm the things that they could do and the next best action? So it fits really the coaching model, and it elicits from the group in live time what their solutions are, and you see the development of that. I saw it in a way that was absolutely amazing when Art facilitated this. And he's helped me to see and reduce it to these basic principles that he just talked about, And it really does parallel the coaching model, but it's applicable to a group of people, as he emphasized about selecting who, and using this model that can be amazingly effective, amazingly productive, and amazingly lucrative. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's very good, and it's a little different. I'd say 80% summative coaching. Here's some differences. One is when you're one-on-one coaching, you get to know them really well, right? And they get to know you somewhat.
Yeah.
When you're doing facilitation, you get to know them as a team and some of the surface personalities that they exhibit in the team, but you really don't get to know them extremely well personally. But they get to know you really well. So as far as building your credibility, not only for facilitation, in a larger business, you need more than facilitation because people just don't want to get on site that much. But it builds your credibility for selling whatever your core business is. And so a good combination I've found is a combination of facilitating, consulting, and executive coaching. And consulting, if you've got subject matter expertise level in whatever they're doing. So if you don't, then you obviously can't do that. But you don't have to be a subject matter expertise in this, interestingly, I've found over time. It helped when I was selling computers to, you know, in the early online systems, the IBMers were extremely well trained and ahead, you know, of most of the clients and the competitors as far as technology and the issues behind it and the But in facilitation, it really is about some great, just asking some good natural questions, embedding most important and least important. I'm going to talk about some key things that I like to remember, and as I was teaching all these ex-CEOs and VPs of sales, who, by the way, almost none of them had facilitation skills. Even though they had very similar experience to me, they did not have facilitation skills. They were directing, they were pitching, they were selling, they were delegating, et cetera. But it took quite a bit of time, typically, to bridge them to a more enabling role. And we did that through just giving them this process that they would speak within. But some key things to remember. One is I don't want to boil the ocean with information. I want to pick out the most relevant things as a basis, get the team to share that with each other, and then create a strategy off of that. So I embed, what's the most important thing? What's the most important, biggest issue, most important, biggest positive thing you'd like to see out? What would your stakeholders most like to see out? What do they see the most negative from them, and why do they see that, And so that's number one. Number two, this is not priority-wise, but the second thing is my friend Jerry Goshi, who was one of the founders of National Oil Well Burco that I did a lot of business with for a number of years. He had this saying, you're in the process of enabling a change in behavior. And the change in behavior is all because of a conversation. So if you look at this little six-box model, three boxes on top, if you draw it, you say, this is currently the way we think in the left box, and with an arrow towards the second box, this is actions we take as a result of this, and then these are current results that we get because of our actions. Something that's missing there is the conversation between box one and two, between how people think in the organization, which is their culture, individually and as a group, and then what they say and how they communicate that to people that, including themselves, are going to take action, causes current results. Well, if you want different results, if you put the box under the right one there, you say you want different and hopefully extraordinary results, you're probably not going to get it with the era from current actions. You're probably not going to get the extraordinary results. You might get lucky,
but it's not going to be on a consistent basis. That's called insanity or hallucinations. You're probably not going to get different actions if you continue the conversation from similar thinking. That probably isn't going to happen. So you got to change. You got to build on a strong conversation, and you got to have a reason to change that conversation if you're going to have a chance for extraordinary results. So it's not just the conversation between people. It's the conversation people have with themselves. And so with that in mind, the next thing I'd like to, on the other side, because it is very, very important. I learned this from a person who used to work for me 25 years ago, Gary Toussaint, and from a couple of people early on. And I've tried to train my arrogant, sometimes, cocky ex-IBM and high-tech sales execs. When you walk into the room, unlike the past, you need to assume that the knowledge is in the room and it's not at the front of the room in everything you do, almost everything. So like a good coach, asking them and then maybe giving them some other ideas if it's appropriate, but not very often, is much more powerful than you giving them the 100 ideas of what's best. Assume the knowledge is in the room. The next thing is to keep the end in mind throughout the session. Although we have an agenda, as the conversation unfolds, you need to be pretty flexible, and you need to not let them get themselves off too much off base, which naturally happens in groups. In fact, one of the things they laugh about is, hey, one of my clients is, if they get real off of these oil industry guys, and they say, God, I really apologize for letting you get yourselves off, get each other off course. Could we kind of put that over on a parking lot or something and get back on the strategy? Or would you give me permission to drive you through this process, because we need to get a work plan on the back end of it, right, in this limited amount of time. So that was the next point. The next point I would say is, as I was sitting back thinking about this call today, which I really appreciate because I really have never written this down, frankly. But when we walk into a room, it's like opening a Christmas package or a gift. You just don't know what's inside until you open it. And sometimes nobody in the room except the person sponsoring it, sometimes that doesn't come to the meeting. Sometimes nobody wants to be there. In fact, they are hacked off walking in. And so we need to do some things, including giving more energy than is natural to us to the team until we get the energy flowing backwards. And as soon as we can, then we want to start pulling. So this is a pull versus a push, very similar to coaching, but it's with a group that is made up of individual human beings with different agendas, backgrounds, da-da-da-da-da. And so I think coaching, I found, is pretty similar once you get pretty good at it. The questions you ask in one-on-one, you really drive a lot of the conversation. This one, you're enabling their conversations. So that energy, and sometimes I don't get it until the end. And sometimes they'll have it coming in. So you just don't know what that package is going to look like on the inside and when that, but that energy and that chemistry needs to come together and form in this simple strategy, actionable strategy that people believe will get them from this mountain to the next one, even though it's quite foggy underneath. We've talked about milestones and DNAs. DNA is something I came up with 10 or 15 years ago. It's probably the best little set of words as far as value to my customers, clients that I've seen. What is the best next action? If we sit down and ask people, what do we need to do now or what are the actions, whatever, we get this long list, and it doesn't have to do with the best. It just kind of happens to be the most top of mind. When we ask that simple little word, what is the best next action? What is something you can calendar next week that will move it a little bit forward? So it's not figuring out everything we need to do to get this thing done, because we probably, there's a lot of stuff we don't know, and it's going to change. But they can define a best next action. So I want to manage, I've helped teams manage billion-dollar deals with 10 best next actions against 8 or 10 milestones with frequent short conversations. Because the accountability is extremely important when we leave this. So when I talk about the goal and keeping focus on the goal, it's really if I was in this team or I was a stakeholder, what would I want these people to do after this meeting? Because this meeting is just the kickoff. The value comes when people go execute this and manage it as a team and bring new people on and recognize and celebrate results as they move through. So the next thing I have, and I just got a couple more, and then we'll get interactive again, is, and by the way, if everyone on the line would just kind of write down your best question that has come up, any kind of question or I'm open to, I'd appreciate it, because I'd like to go around to the people on the call and get your best question and see if that might be useful. But one of the things is people say, and I asked early on when this thing really started, you know, I said, Jed, people want to know kind of why does this work? And he says, Wilson, you do not have time to tell them. And besides, you're a unconscious competent. I said, what? He says, yeah, you've been doing a lot of this stuff, but hell, you don't even know why it works. So don't worry about explaining why it works. Just show them what it is, and it works. You get an outcome that works, and it's worked thousands of times. So I wanted to, if anybody has some questions around.
Art, that's a brilliant synopsis.
Getting started. I mean,
that's a brilliant synopsis. Thanks so much. That's terrific.
Am I over yet? Okay.
No, I'm just saying that's great, and we have some time for questions.
Yeah, so I'm open.
Hi, I'd like to know how you talk about what you do.
Say pardon?
I'd like to know how you talk about what you do to your prospective clients or teams.
Oh, okay. Good question. When I get a prospect, it's typically somebody I've known or somebody I get referred to or somebody that I'm working with on a consulting basis or whatever. We're a three-person firm with a part-time another daughter that helps, does all the report out. So I'm not looking at growing a business beyond the bandwidth that we have. When I sit down with somebody that I want to find out, tell me about your organization today. How is it going? How do your stakeholders? What are the most positive things people, the negative things people are saying about your organization today? Where would you like to see it a year out? And where would you like to see it if you really had an extraordinary outcome? And how would that look like to the stakeholders? And what are your key initiatives that you have, two or three best, most important things that you need to do to get there? And how are you guys executing on it? And would it be helpful to have me as a professional facilitator help your team getting through it, and then I show them the process. And you're happy. You're welcome to take this model that Dave's going to send you, and modify it any way you want. I give some attribution. I have a process for large account sales, but when I got in business for myself, I sold my company and all the IP. So I looked on the internet, and I found a strategic planning model that was government from some government agency developed by Denise Wells and Linda Doherty, and I just modified it to kind of how I do it, and put my name on it with theirs and send it out. And so I sit down. I typically like to have something that's graphical that I'll walk them through what I do for clients. And you kind of, talk about what the team members are. It could be a project, could be an initiative, it could be an organizational strategy. What kind of clients do you have, ma'am? What do they do?
Normally just one-on-one, but I would like to expand to some larger group think ideas.
So these people, the best place to go is people that highly value what you do already.
Right.
And so do some of these people have businesses?
Yeah, I can work with the holistic practitioners actually at my studio. This is a perfect model.
Yeah, yeah. So just give me a call. Dave will send you my number. I'll be glad to talk you through that. It kind of depends on the individuals. But I found two places I've gotten 90% of my business. One is people that I know and knew me. And then the second one is high-level people that will refer me to people that have high respect for them. And that second one sometimes even better than the first, because I'm not as pretty as some of my friends tell others I am. I'm not nearly as pretty as Dave, I can promise you. But it does help you create a holistic practice, and it also kicks off a lot of coaching opportunities. I don't sell this as a session. I sell as a project.
Right.
And so at the smallest level, it's $15,000 for a day plus setting it up with a sponsor and a little bit of follow-up. At the highest level, it's $50,000 to $250,000 for a company for a year. But most of the initial engagements are around $15,000 to $25,000, and then out of that, you just see kind of where it goes. But I've got a mantra now: I either do it for full fee or free. So I don't go down on prices much. And when I talk about free is try to do and have had my company do pro bono stuff, at least one per partner facilitator a year. And I continue to do that. And not that I got a lot of business out. In fact, I've only gotten one piece of business out of doing that. But it was a very good one. But it gives me some repetitions. So if you haven't done this kind of facilitation, look around you at these nonprofits and find somebody that is, you got to get it at the right time. But find somebody that thinks they need it at a board level or some group, et cetera. Put them together in a room, and those typically are a half day to a day at a time. And sometimes you'll spread those over two or three and just go do it.
And aren't you right about the all or nothing? I had to pay the full $15,000 to get him to come and talk to you guys.
Oh, yeah, right.
Nice.
Dave, I would do almost anything for, except giving my daughter. I'm not giving her up.
You know, one of my very good friends said, you know, Dave, this is how I define a friend: anybody who would help you move. A good friend is somebody who would help you move a body. And Art is definitely somebody who would help you move a body. We are going to have to wrap up now. Art, thank you so much for a brilliant discussion. I really appreciate it, and I value Art so much. And I know that each of you know that Art and I are doing the What's Next Exec series at we're beginning at his ranch this year for sitting CEOs and business owners who are within a year or so of retirement for what their next contribution is. So it's always a privilege. Thank you so much, Art. It was truly a privilege to be here. And this is an outstanding group of people, and I know that that what you said is of value.
Well, I just offer if I could help anybody, you know, a conversation over the phone, it's fine. Just give me a call and good luck. Go try it and let me know how it turns out.
Okay. Thank you, Art, and thank all of you.
Thank
you. We'll pick up here the first Friday of next month.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Dave.
Bye,
thank
guys.
You. Bye, everybody.
See you
now.
Bye. You.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
What happened to the question?
Well, we ran out of time.
I probably already gave you.